I seem to catch myself reading the obituaries a little more. I know that sounds weird now that I get older. I say older. I know I'm still young compared to some of you. But for whatever reason, it kind of seems to be more people dying here lately. And I don't know whether, once again, it's because as I get older, I tend to know more people. Friends of mine whose parents are passing away, whether I'm more connected to those that are passing away. Or some people say when the cold weather really hits hard like it did this year, it just seems to get those that are more susceptible and more that are at the end of their life and are struggling with battling illness and disease. Maybe it just seems to hit them harder. But, you know, when you attend funerals, it's always a reflection, time of reflection upon the lives of the people that have passed away, and a time for reminiscing and good memories. But not only for the person that's passed away, I think, do you reflect upon their life, but it gives us an opportunity to reflect upon our lives as well when we go there. At least I know I do. And when people pass on, it's kind of a time for storytelling. I remember one that sticks out in my mind when my grandfather passed away, and I may get this wrong, but I'm going to tell it anyway. But he was a big fisherman, and he liked to go fishing a lot. He had two or three buddies he fished with, and one of them was named Woody Proctor, whose house I actually live in. When Sarah and I bought the house, it was actually his house. And it was not an uncommon occurrence for the boat to overturn at times, and Woody couldn't swim, and the boat overturned, and he was kind of flopping around in the water, and my grandfather looked at him and said, "Would you just stand up?" He was only in 2.5 feet of water. But through the stories of those that have passed on, you know, you get to know them a little better and you kind of find out what's really important in their life. You read some of the obituaries and you might read that somebody was very fond of their stamp collection. They were an avid golfer, or they were a fan of a big sports team. Or maybe they're involved in a local community organization. And I don't mean this negatively when I make this next statement, but what does it say about the person when maybe the most important thing that's pointed out is that they were a fan of a sports team? What does that communicate to those who maybe didn't know them? So I kind of got to start thinking about what would happen with me if I was gone tomorrow. Like if I left this earth for some unknown reason, what would people say was my passion? What would people say was my number one priority? What would they say I was known for? Some people might say I was the cheapest guy on the planet. Yep. Amen. Just my wife. But here's the problem. If the answer that they give about me is that I was a huge fan of a sports team, which I am. Those of you that know me, you know what team I'm a fan of. You know what sport I love. Or they say that I was an avid golfer and I loved to go golf. What does that communicate about me? Because if they don't say that I was devoted to God, I was devoted in service to the church, or that I love my family and I serve my family, and that was the most important thing, what does that communicate to the world about me? Because if they don't say those things, then maybe my focus was just a little bit off in this life. Maybe my focus should have been more on golf. Maybe it should have been more of golf. Freudian slip of the tongue. More on God. Maybe my focus should have been more on God, more on my family. Maybe my focus was off. But because if we're going to get honest with ourselves, there are times when we go through life and we slip up and we are distracted and our focus does get a little bit off track of where we know it should be. And if you really want to know what somebody says is important to you, ask somebody else to ask them. Because I don't think they'll be honest with you. Maybe they will be. I don't know. But my suggestion is ask somebody else to ask a person what they think is important to you. And in that conversation you have, you might hear, if you hear some things that go, no, that's not me at all, you know. That you didn't describe me at all. But here's the problem. If that's what they think is important to you, that is what you're communicating to those that you come into contact with. It's what's being presented to others. Because we have to remember that we are here. We are not here. I want to backtrack. We are not here to live our lives as if they were our own. I want to repeat that. We are not here to live our lives as if they were our own. So what do I mean by that? I mean that when we went up down in that water and we came back up out of it, we arose a new creation and we no longer live for ourselves. We live for God and for God alone. And we have to realize that the whole of our existence is not just what we do here on this earth. I'm getting ready to make a statement, and it might shock some of you all, but hear me out till the end. You realize that at the moment that we are conceived, we are immortal beings. Now, yes, we are going to die physically, but you do know, and you read from Scripture, and you truly believe that there is life after this, and it's never going to end. So in the sense, we are immortal beings. And the whole point of us being here on this earth is to get us prepared for what's coming after this life. That's all it's for. Now, some of you might have noticed I've kind of got this. I can't claim this as my own illustration. It's somebody else's, but I'm going to use it this morning. But I've got this rope here. Actually, it's a clothesline string or whatever it is. But just imagine that this is not the end, okay? So we throw it over there. Can everybody see this little part I've got taped up in black right here? Can you see that? We have to start realizing that we have such a very small part of our existence right here. That's it. And we've got all of this out here that just keeps on going forever. So I'm going to ask you a really hard question this morning. Why is it that we spend so much time worrying about this little part right here? Why do we spend so much time being consumed with being, for lack of a better word, comfortable here? We work so hard. We work to provide for our families. Those are good things. But taken to an extreme, it's not a good thing. We work really hard, spend a lot of effort here, in this little area right here, in this black part right here. And yet we have all this out here that's yet to be lived. And lived in inexpressible and can't even put it into words, joy, all the way out here. And we gotta remember, the Bible teaches us explicitly that what we do and all the decisions that we make right here affect all of this here. So why are we worried about, at times, why are we worried about the pleasures and comforts of this little part right here? Because there's going to come a time where we're going to get to that finish line. And we're going to realize that our lives were either spent serving God or they weren't. And this little part right here pales in comparison to the rest of this out here. And the thing about it is, we can't go back to the beginning. You don't get any second chances. You have to live as if every day was your last, making sure that we are not living for ourselves. Now, all of that little introduction there to get to the point of our lesson today. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. I don't know if I'll need that again or not. I'll put that down there for now. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you, and being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." Paul realizes in this text, I'm not going to pick it up, but you remember the illustration. He realizes that eternity is what matters. But he also has a focus on that small little portion of our physical existence here. And he is reminded constantly, you know he is, because he calls himself a chief sinner in a couple of different places. He's constantly reminded of the former life that he led while he was living his life for himself. But now, he looks back at that and realizes it was just all to get him, unfortunately, all the evil that he did. He is where he is today because of Christ. And from that point forward, when Jesus appeared to him on that road to Damascus, he made a choice that he was going to live for Christ. When he says that to me, to live is Christ, he's not talking about any kind of theological concept or psychological concept. It is who he is now. It's meant to be taken literally. Saying, I am no longer focused on the pleasures and comforts now. Now everything that I do has eternity in mind. And that's what he's trying to communicate here to the Philippian church. He becomes Christ-like in everything he does. The way he preaches to people, the way he teaches people, the way he treats people. He becomes an imitator of Jesus. He tells the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, he says, "Be imitators of me as I also am imitator of Christ." Because he knew, just like we all do, he knew there was going to be a day when he was going to face Jesus again and have to give an account of everything that he did on this earth. And he wanted to be able to walk up there, he wanted to be able to go to heaven and say, "Lord, I have lived like you and I have lived my life the way you would have me to do." And we know Jesus would say, "Yes, you have. Welcome home." That's what he would say. That's our goal. We want to hear those same words when we get to the end of our life and we're living out that part that is so much larger than the small part that we are in now. Find the clicker. Oops. So this morning, not quite done yet, but I want you to start thinking about this. For me, to live is blank. What goes in that blank? Now here's a hard one on a day like today. The Super Bowl. You know? Today's a big day. Sadly, I'd say church attendance across the globe will be in decline this evening. You know? For me to live is, what is it, Brianna? Christ, yeah. What can go in that blank? If it's not Christ, we might want to think about that. Now, the second half of what Paul says there, and this will be the transition into the closing part of our sermon this morning, is to die is gain. Now, how can anybody say that to die, they're going to gain anything? Because you learn later on from Paul. Because to him, to die was to go and to be with Christ. He loved the life of serving his brothers and sisters. And if you don't believe me, read those following verses. That's what he's saying. He loved serving his brothers and sisters and being a servant for Jesus. But his ultimate goal is the same one as ours, is to go and to be with Jesus. Because it's a realization, we come to that point to where we better start realizing that if we have lived our life for God, and the way that we should, we need to be looking forward to heaven. Death is not the end. Just like we were talking about this morning with the Lord's Supper. And I didn't do a good job of communicating that, so give me a do-over. Death was not the end, as we know, of anything with Jesus. It was the beginning of something so much better. And it was a victory. A victory over sin, over death itself. We have the opportunity to follow Christ and live eternally. That's why we take the Lord's Supper, amongst other things. Paul tells the Philippian church, he says, you know, I want to go be in heaven, but, you know, I've got a little while longer here. So I'm going to enjoy watching you grow in the faith. Because we all go through times where our actions and our words don't indicate that we value our relationship with Jesus. It just happens. We're weak and we're sinful. You know, and I'm sure Paul had bouts with that too. Because he was a human being. I'm sure he did. But we have to realize and never forget that our whole reason for existing now as Christians is to give glory and honor to God and to serve this church and to serve one another and to help everybody get to where we all want to go. I want to go home so badly, Paul says. I want to go home really, really bad. But you know what? This second best thing right here is not that bad, to get to serve the church and to give glory and honor and praise to God. Paul got the ultimate joy, just like we do, of watching others come to Christ through the gospel. Come back into a relationship with God through the gospel. So why do we place so much emphasis? Why do I this morning place so much emphasis on serving the church and looking forward to heaven? It's because that's our attitude. That should be our attitude for life. If our sole purpose of waking up in the morning and the first thought is not, how am I going to serve and glorify God today? Then let's change our attitude a little bit. Is that too blunt? You know? Let's change the way we look at things. Realize that we are saved. We are going to heaven. If that thought doesn't make us happy, I don't know what else will. If the thought of spending all that time and that rope analogy out there with Jesus and with those who've gone on before us does not bring a smile to our face, let's think about it some more until it does bring a smile to our face. Okay? Now, I'll cop to it. I'm not like the world's most super joyous person all the time, but if you can't see it in my face, I really do love being up here, you know? I really do love being here this morning to give praise and glory and honor to God through singing songs and assembling and taking the Lord's Supper with you all. But to close out this morning, my earnest desire for myself personally, you can think about this as I say what I think it means to me. My earnest desire this morning is to live out my life in a way that God would say, well done, good and faithful servant. Live my life in such a way that the decisions that I make will lead my family closer to God and will lead my children a good example of what a relationship with God looks like. A good relationship with God looks like. I really want to go home and be with Christ. But second best to that is being here and serving the church and serving my family. So this morning, if you have any need this morning that you, maybe your focus is off. Maybe you don't have that same joy that you had when you first became a Christian, when you realized that, hey, I'm saved and I'm part of the kingdom of God and I'm going to heaven. We got to help get that spark back. Because if we don't have that spark in our lives and we don't have that joy stored up in our heart when we go out and we share the gospel with individuals today and in the future to go along with the long-term goals and plans we have here for the church here at Grayville, it's not going to work. You know, once again, I'll just be a little bit blunt. Until people can see the joy that you and I have for life itself, even through all of the trials, tribulations, struggles, diseases, problems, everything that we worry about in that small little part of this life, till they see that we can have joy here on this earth and find that joy in and through Jesus Christ, we're not going to reach anybody. They've got to see that first, you know. They want to know that they're coming into something that is worth coming to. Because they don't know about Jesus. They don't know all the manifold blessings He can bestow upon them. They don't know how much life, how much better life is with Jesus in the picture. They don't have a clue. But we've got to show them what it means to have Jesus in their life by the joy that we have through the hope of salvation. Any of those things apply to you this morning. If there's anything we can do, please make it known as we stand and sing our invitation song.